So if you were at Mass on the Feast of St. Francis on Wednesday, we made the remark of how providential the readings that were assigned to the day applied very well to the life of St. Francis. And today as well, the readings that just fall on this normal Saturday of the 26th week relate so well to this memorial, this feast of Our Lady of the Rosary. The Church does provide specific readings that we could have chosen, but as we listened well to what God was saying in just normal course, we see God's providence at hand as we celebrate this great feast, as I mentioned, that recognizes, memorializes this great feast, this great battle of Lepanto, where our Blessed Mother played an instrumental role in conquering the forces that were desiring to destroy Western culture, which at that time was without a doubt the Christian, the Catholic culture. So Baruch, in that prophecy, "Fear not, my children, call out to God. He who has brought this upon you will remember you. As your hearts have been disposed to stray from God, turn now 10 times the more to seek him. He will save you, bringing you back enduring joy." Just as though we have strayed, when we return to the Lord, he saves us. And just, you know, reading into it, of course, it's not supposed to be specifically there, but 10 times more. How many rosaries in each decade of the rosary? 10. So we can see little sprinkles of Our Lady's love here upon us and bringing us back to the enduring joy. Our Lady of joy, Our Lady of joyful hope, as we surrender our life to her intercession, and her goal is only to bring us to Jesus, to restore us. And this is what Baruch is prophesying about and describing, is this restoration of the destroyed city of Jerusalem and the temple being destroyed. Baruch is singing the praises of the restoration. Our Blessed Mother does the same thing. When we repent from our sin, when we go to confession, when we live a life of virtue, she rejoices in the sinner being restored to glory. Response to our psalm, "The Lord listens to the poor." Again, a clear connection to what we believe, that we are poor. No matter what we have in the material world, we are poor. We should be poor. We should recognize ourselves as being poor before the Lord. And the Lord listens to us. He casts down those who are mighty, lifts up the lowly. The Lord listens to us when, as little children, as the humble, poor children that we are, we turn to him and we beg for his intercession, his guidance in our life. And then this wonderful gospel, you know, a few days ago we had where Jesus sent out the disciples, giving them power to do what he did, to proclaim the kingdom, to proclaim salvation, and now they're coming back. And we can just imagine the giddiness that the disciples had. Like, it worked. Jesus, you told us it was going to work, and it worked. You know, we can just imagine the joy that they were sharing with Jesus. I'm sure almost everyone here this morning can recount an episode where we spent some time in prayer, interceding on behalf of someone, and it, quote unquote, worked. And we were overcome with joy that the Lord listened to the poor prayer of this poor sinner, and it worked. This is the power that Jesus has given to us. And it's good to always take note of that caution, that we don't pray, we don't become disciples because we can do great works and we can have all these magnificent and just fabulous displays of God's power. Jesus said, "I saw Satan fall. I'm not surprised that you were able to cast out demons. I gave you the power to do it. Of course it's going to work." So we ought not get tripped up in these fantastic displays of God's power in our lives. Give glory for them, yes, but of course they're supposed to be happening. If we're living a life of grace, our names are written in heaven. We have that power. And that's why we rejoice not because we can do great things, but because God has done great things in us. And when we reflect on the great Magnificat, that's what our Blessed Mother teaches us, that the Lord has done great things in her, and we want to imitate her by allowing the Lord to work through us. That he has revealed these things to the childlike. Woman, behold your son, Jesus told on the cross. That we are the sons, the daughters of our Blessed Mother. That he reveals those things to us when we take that childlike posture. And so it's 1571, where the Ottoman Empire, the Turkish Empire, the Muslims, who for almost 1,000 years have been seeking to destroy the Christian world, the Christian culture, were making their way into the Mediterranean Sea, into the Battle of Lepanto, close to Greece. And I don't know the exact numbers, but the Ottomans had, 14 gazillion times more ships than the Christians had. 1571. What's going on in the church? The Protestant revolt. Martin Luther and Calvin trying to destroy the church from within. So a lot of the European countries had already turned their back against Rome. So the Roman army, the Roman navy, was being diminished. And it was basically the forces from Italy and Spain and Malta that got together, a very few forces. Pope Pius V, who was a Dominican, who were devoted to the Rosary, called for the Holy League to gather and for the whole church to pray the Rosary. And on this day, October 7th in 1571, there was a great battle. And just as far as a naval battle, it's a great story, so we maybe can go back and just read it from the historical perspective, how they changed how they did warfare, where they placed the guns and the cannons on the ships, and how they just maneuvered everything. We have to imagine our Blessed Mother had her hand in that. Because again, as the small vessels, the small force conquered the Ottomans, it saved Western culture. It saved Christianity as a cultural power in the world. And so Pope Pius V had a vision that the battle had been won, and so he called for this feast to be celebrated. Again, initially being known as Our Lady of Victory, but then being changed to Our Lady of the Rosary. And I chose this vestment today because in 1530s, Our Lady appeared in Guadalupe. The church in Mexico sent an image of Our Lady of Guadalupe, which had been touched to the tilma, to the forces, the Holy League forces. So Our Lady of Guadalupe was there in the boats when they were conquering the Ottoman Empire. Our Lady of Guadalupe was doing such great work in the Americas of saving and converting souls. She was doing the same thing in the Mediterranean Sea. And so while we can celebrate this great military victory, this pivotal moment in world history, but it's just a sign to us of the work that Our Lady wants to do in each one of our lives. How often do we seem to be facing battles that are insurmountable, that we don't know how to make it through this? Whether there's problems in our family, there's a health crisis, and just the nonsense in the world right now, in the church and in the world. What do we do? We trust that the Lord listens to the poor. We trust in the powerful intercession of our Blessed Mother, trusting that we can go to her and that she will listen to us and take our needs to her Son. This is what she does. So as we meditate upon the mysteries of Jesus as we pray the Rosary, and that's the key. Oftentimes we can maybe think the Rosary is like almost like a good luck charm, and we just try to muscle through it and pray those Hail Marys and Our Fathers as fast as possible to get them done because there's some kind of magic in saying those numbers of prayers. The power of the Rosary is that this woman, the mother of Jesus, who lived her life with him, takes us by the hand and walks us through the life of Jesus. And that life of Jesus is powerful to change lives. And as we meditate upon his life with our Blessed Mother, our hearts should change, our minds should change. And this is the power of the rosary. It's not just something we check off each day because it's my goal to pray the rosary every day. I pray the rosary every day so that I can become more like Jesus. And this is what our Blessed Mother wants. So ask her for her help today to go deeper in your prayers of the rosary, or to help to reframe your idea of what the rosary is. It's not a good luck charm. It's not a trinket. It's a beautiful way to meditate upon the life of Jesus. And this is how we become saints. And this is the goal of our life, is to become a saint, to live with Jesus forever. And so we surrender our lives to Our Lady once again, trusting that she will only and always take us to her Son, Jesus.